This morning we're continuing our psalm series. We have two more psalms left. And this morning we are looking at Psalm 146. So if you would like to turn in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 146. All right, hear now God's word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. O God, we thank you for your glorious word. We thank you for this psalm and for the call to praise you. Lord, we thank you for giving us so much to give praise for. And I ask, O Lord, that you would be with your servant as he proclaims your word. I pray that you would give me clarity and power. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up the eyes of your people this morning, that we might see your trustworthiness. And that through, as we look at this word, through it, we might be led to rejoice in you, to put our hope in you, and to praise you with great joy. So Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We sang it about five times this morning. And we've heard the word proclaim it. You know what? Hallelujah. That's the Hebrew for praise Yahweh. Praise the Lord. And here we've come to the last section of the Psalter. Psalm 146 through 150. And if you read through the Psalter, there's this trajectory. And you see at the beginning this declaration that the one who trusts in the Lord, the one who meditates on his word, the one who follows him is blessed. And you also see this promise that the Lord is going to send his son to deliver his people. But as you continue through the Psalms, as we've seen through our series, you see this to the psalmist, the people of God, struggling with different things, with feeling forsaken, with feeling alone, struggling with being in exile, struggle with being oppressed, struggling with seeing injustice, struggling with feeling like God is not anywhere near, struggling with being far from the Lord's house, and those prayers. But you see these reminders that the Lord can be counted on. The Lord can be trusted. And we see psalms of praise for the Lord's deliverance. So as we move to the end of the Psalter, these prayers end up in this kind of this symphony of praise. Praise the Lord for what he's done. Praise the Lord for who he is. And you'll notice that each, if you look at Psalm 146 through 150, each of these psalms begins and ends with Hallelujah, praise the Lord. In Psalm 146 and 147, reasons are given for praise the Lord because this is who He is. Praise the Lord because this is what He's done. By the time you get to Psalm 148, it's just praise the Lord His angels, praise the Lord His people, praise the Lord all the nations of the earth. And Psalm 150, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him on the timbrel, praise Him for His great acts, praise Him for His greatness, praise Him for His mighty deeds, praise Him on the trumpet, praise Him on the drums. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. It reminds us, it reminds you that this is what God created you and me for. He created us to praise Him. Augustine, in his Confessions, a spiritual autobiography, begins by quoting this section of the Psalter. He says, "Great are you, O Lord, greatly to be praised." And he says, "You have created man to take pleasure in praising you, because you have made us for yourself." Created us to praise Him. That's what we see in the New Testament as well. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, when he's talking about how in Christ, right, God chose us in Christ. Why? To the praise of His glorious grace. He predestined us for adoption, for redemption, through the blood of His Son, to the praise of His glorious grace. That is your purpose. That's our ultimate purpose. And so in this psalm, we see a call to praise the Lord. What is praise? What does it mean to praise the Lord? To praise the Lord is to glory in who? To glory in God by telling God who He is and what He's done. The glory in God by telling Him. So it's a praising as a verbal act. We do it by speaking and do it in our prayer. We do it as we speak about Him to one another. We do it as we sing. That's a verbal act. You're telling God who He is and what He's done. So that is what, that's what we are called to. Now, in Psalm 146, and a number of these psalms, there's a call to praise the Lord, but then that call is followed by a reason for praise. Right? Praise Him because His love is steadfast. I will praise Him because He heard my voice. Praise Him because He gathers in the outcasts. Right? The list of reasons. And as I mentioned, those reasons can be boiled down to two things: who God is in His character, and what God has done in His acts. But Psalm 146 here is unique among these praises. Because while it begins here, praise the Lord, I will praise the Lord as long as I live, it's immediately followed by an exhortation. So there's a call to praise, but it's immediately followed by an exhortation. Don't put your trust in princes. Now, why does this psalm exhort the people? Why are you exhorted not to put your trust in princes? Well, it's because there is a human tendency to put our trust in people other than the Lord. Now, this psalm reminds us that we all struggle with difficulties and problems. If you look down the list in 6 through 8, you see that the Lord executes justice to the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, opens the eyes of the blind. This reminds us that people are struggling with real problems, whether it's oppression by those who are in power over you, whether it's neediness for food, neediness for shelter. Whether it's slavery, it can be physical slavery, it can be spiritual slavery, a slave to sin. People struggle with blindness. It can be physical blindness, but it can be spiritual blindness as well. People are struggling with problems. But this psalm, the theme of this psalm, is that the Lord is to be praised because he is the one who delivers people from their problems. The Lord is to be praised because he fulfills the hope of those who put their trust in him. He fulfills the hopes of those who put their trust in him. And that is the theme of this psalm here. So there's a call to praise, and we're to praise the Lord because he's the one who delivers people who put their hope in him. He provides for the needy. He delivers those who are oppressed. But the psalm moves right into an exhortation. And the exhortation is, don't put your trust in princes. Now, as we said, this is a human tendency. The psalmist knows that you and that I are liable to look to people other than God when we are grappling with our problems. This psalm was likely written, most people think that this was written after the exile. So Israel was in exile, right, in Babylon. And after years and years, after 70 years there of mourning, of longing for the homeland, the people are brought back into the land by the Lord. But he does it through Cyrus, this pagan emperor, ruler of the Medes, or the Babylonians, the Medes. And Cyrus sends a decree, and it makes a decree, and he sends the people back into the Promised Land. Now imagine that for a generation, your people have been in exile, been in this foreign land. They've been captives. And then the Lord puts someone on the throne, someone in power who makes a decree, and with a stroke of his pen, sends you, your family, all your relatives, and your people back to the land. And further says, I want you to rebuild your temple to your God. You'd be rejoicing. But what would be the temptation? The temptation would begin to say, look at what Cyrus did. If we have the right man in power, then we will be okay. And so the psalmist here is reminding people, don't put your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. Now, this is not just a temptation for the Israelites, but it's a temptation for us today. And you might be thinking this morning, well, okay, I'm an American. We don't have princes here, so I don't think this is going to be a particular temptation for me. But who are the princes that he's speaking about here? That's princes are people with power and wealth and position. So the prince that you're tempted the prince that this psalm is speaking about is anyone with the power or the wealth or the giftedness or the intelligence that you think can deliver you from your problems. And you know, isn't that why we see people so passionate about politics today? When people are out there campaigning or protesting, all these signs, what are they recognizing? They're recognizing that we live in a world where there's injustice. We live in a world where there is real oppression. We live in a world where people are in need of food, of medical care. But what are they putting their hope in? If we can put the right man in office, then all of our problems will be taken care of. And so people get passionate about that. And they rejoice and they give great praise when their person, right, their candidate gets elected. Or they are absolutely devastated when their candidate is not elected. Why? Because they're putting their hope in princes. Now, as a church, we are not immune to this, to looking towards princes, towards human people that we think can deliver us from our ills. And what's the sign that you're putting your trust in princes? Well, a very clear sign is prayerlessness. If you think your hope depends on a son of man who's made of dust and not on the living God, then your energies are not going to be put into being on your knees and begging the Lord of heaven and earth, but it's going to be on campaigning for your person, your man or your woman. Now, is it wrong to be interested in politics? No, as Christians, right? We should take an interest in our country, right? It's good to vote. These things, it's not bad to be passionate about politics. But if you're more passionate about politics than about prayer, you're putting your trust in a prince. If you're more passionate about political campaigning than about the proclamation of the gospel, you're putting your hope in a prince, in a son of man. And he's going to return to the dust with all of your hopes. Isn't that what the history of Western civilization has borne out? Leaders rising, revolutionaries, right, coming and then going. And their promise of freedom and deliverance of utopia dying with them. So don't put your trust in a prince, but put your trust in the Lord. So the exhortation is to put your hope and your trust in the Lord. And you'll show that through your passionate prayer. Well, this psalm exhorts us what not to do. But it exhorts us to put our hope in the Lord. And it doesn't just exhort God's people to hope in Yahweh, but it gives the grounding for that hope. Right, why can you trust God to deliver you from your problems? You can trust in God for two reasons. First, because he is the one with the power. And this is what the psalmist says. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. Think about that for a moment. If the Lord spoke all the worlds, all the universes, all the stars, just by the word of his mouth, do you think that God can deliver you from your prison? Physical or spiritual? Absolutely. If the Lord made all things by the power of his word, do you think that Lord can provide for your need? For the house that you need? The transportation that you need? The food that you need? Absolutely. God has the power. Unlike human princes, the Lord has the power. So first, God can be trusted because he is the one with the power. But secondly, he can be trusted because of his character. And that's what the rest of this psalm and goes on to say, what is the character of God? He is the one who keeps faith forever. And he is the one who supplies for the needy and who delivers the oppressed. And that's what all of these really can be boiled down to that. He is the one who takes care and provides for the needy, and he is the one who delivers the one who's oppressed. Look at these beautiful words. And he's the one who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. And then the psalmist breaks out in this list. It's like this pulsing chorus. The Lord, remember that those are capitalized letters because that stands for God's covenant name. It's the name he revealed himself by. So, you know, when you call your son or your friend by their first name, that's the name by which, right, they are known. It's the name by which you call them. Yahweh, the Lord, is the name by which he is called. So look at this. Yahweh sets the prisoners free. Yahweh opens the eyes of the blind. Yahweh lifts up those who are bowed down. Yahweh loves the righteous. Yahweh watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. That is the character of your God. And so this morning, what are you struggling with? What are the problems that you are anxious about? Maybe it's a physical issue. You're looking at a prognosis. Maybe you're dealing, you know, with an injury or some physical condition. Maybe you are in a difficult work situation. Or maybe you're worried about the Lord's providing. You're wondering where the next paycheck is going to come from. The Lord is the one who provides. The Lord is the one who delivers. So this is the character of God. But you might be sitting here this morning, you say, intellectually, yes, I know that the Lord is the one who delivers. I know the Lord is the one who can deliver me from my prison, physical or spiritual. I know the Lord is the one who can provide for my need, physical, spiritual. I know that. But in my heart, I'm still anxious because there's something in me that doubts that God will really do that. Maybe he did that in the scriptures for Israel. I read those accounts. But will he still do that today? And that's why the psalmist says, God is the one who keeps faith forever. That word faith is also the word truth. God is true to his character forever. So he won't forsake you. He will deliver you. Put your hope in him. But where else do we see the proof that this indeed is the character of God? Well, we see it in the Lord Jesus. We see that this indeed is the character of God when God came down and took on flesh. And Jesus, as we read this morning, stood up and read these beautiful promises from Isaiah. And he said, I tell you, this day the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And then what does Jesus do? Jesus, he sits on a hillside where he's teaching crowds of thousands for a day. And he sees them and they're hungry. And what does he do? He takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and he multiplies that. And he gives the people an abundance of food and he fills them. What does the Lord do? He comes to a man who's sitting in the temple area, being led by the hand because he was born blind. And he goes to that man, and he spits in the ground, and he takes the mud, he rubs it in the man's eyes. and tells him to go wash. And that man begins to see the color green, the color blue for the first time in his life. What does the Lord Jesus do? He goes to the demoniac who's in the graveyard, imprisoned and enchained by and oppressed by demons. And the Lord, by the power of his word, sets that man free. This is what the Lord Jesus does. So the Lord delivers you. He will provide for all your needs. He will deliver you from all of your problems. And you know, it's not just these physical problems. You know, we're not all physically blind. A few of us here are physically blind. But we all know what it's like to be spiritually blind. And that's the greater blindness through which the Lord Jesus delivers. And when the Lord Jesus sent his Holy Spirit into your heart and opened your eyes to recognize the prison house of your sin for the first time, and you called out to him, the Lord Jesus delivered you from that sin and brought you into freedom, the freedom of the sons of God. So, do you doubt the Lord? Are you anxious? Are you turning to human princes to deliver you from your problems? Don't put your hope in a son of man in whom there's no deliverance, but put your hope in the Lord God. He will not disappoint, and you will have much cause to praise him. So that is the Lord. People of God, let's put our trust in the Lord, and let's praise his awesome name. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you, and we praise you that you indeed are trustworthy, that you are true to your character forever. And oh Lord, we pray that you would deliver us from putting our trust and our hope in human means, and that we would look to you, the one who ordains the means, or the one to whom true deliverance and provision belongs. And we thank you and we praise you that you indeed have shown us this great deliverance through the Lord Jesus, and that in the Lord Jesus you will fulfill every hope of your people. And it's in his name that we give you thanks and praise. Amen.